This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. If you walk into a Bay Area Starbucks this week, you may get more than just a cup of coffee. The chain has been running a campaign to foster conversations about race. It's called Race Together.
Baristas are now free to write Race Together on the company's coffee cups to begin a dialogue with customers about race relations.
At a Starbucks set amongst the big box stores of Emeryville over the weekend, some of the cups featured a Race Together sticker, though servers weren't bringing up the topic in conversation. The whole concept brought mixed reaction from the customers. Crystal Pratt thinks it's a good thing.
I think we often shy away from conversations about race for fear of sounding racist or biased, but I think a lot can be learned from just talking to each other and educating each other about our differences and, you know, being in a positive way instead of it always having to come as an aftermath of some horrible racist event.
Emily Carter feels a little less sure about the timing.
I would have been comfortable talking about it, but I don't know if when I'm at Starbucks I really want to have a long, meaningful conversation with the barista.
Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz says the first phase of the Race Together campaign is over. That's the interactivity. But he wants to continue fostering dialogue about racial divides at his coffee shops around the country. Now, those coffee shop conversations aren't limited to Starbucks at all. In fact, one was spurred by a racially charged incident at Berkeley's Elmwood Cafe. After comedian and TV star W. Kamau Bell was told to leave the brunch spot, he helped organize a forum designed to open up a conversation about race and racism that happens under the surface. About 300 people attended the event at Berkeley's Willard Middle School, including KALW's Sandhya Dirks. She brought back this story.
So to talk about this story on a somewhat colorblind medium like radio, I'm going to have to spell out race. Melissa Hudson Bell is white, and her husband, W. Kamau Bell, is black. The day the incident happened was Kamau Bell's birthday, and the family went to the Elmwood Cafe in Berkeley to celebrate. It was a happy family outing, with their three-month-old in tow. After eating, the couple left to do their own thing. Hudson Bell ended up back at the Elmwood Cafe with a mommy group she was just getting to know. So her husband, Kamau Bell, stopped by the Elmwood again to say hi to his wife and her new friends.
And he walked up to where we were sitting at the table, and I quickly introduced him to the women that I was with, who had only just found out he was a comedian.
Not just a comedian, but a famous comedian. Bell had a show on the FX network, totally biased. And yes, Bell deals with race a lot in his comedy, like in the segment Anything to Say to a Black Guy, in which Bell, playing the black guy, asked white people if they had anything they wanted to say to him.
Anything to say to a black guy.
I've always just wondered what it feels like to walk around as a black man. Do people avert their eyes?
Either they avert their eyes or they really stare.
One of the two.
One of the problems with being black is that sometimes when people are mean to you, you don't know if they're being racist or just being an
ass. Yeah.
I would appreciate if white people, when they were mean to black people, would say, this is racism. Ah, now I'm just being a dick.
I think that's why we have the N-word.
That's true.
This clip is resonant because the joke Bell is making is that sometimes racism can be coded or disguised, which is exactly what the Bells say happened to them on that Monday at the Elmwood Cafe when Kamau Bell returned to meet up with his wife and her new friends. Melissa Hudson Bell picks up the story.
He'd probably been standing there 2 minutes maybe saying hello, and there was a kind of rapping sound on the window behind me. I thought what I often think, like, oh man, I can't take him out anywhere. People are recognizing him because he's famous. And I looked at him in his face and quickly realized, oh no, that's not what this is.
It was a different look, a look equally familiar to her. Not the look of people knowing him, but the look of him knowing he's been told he doesn't belong.
And it was really clear from the expression on his face, like, oh, he's being asked to leave.
People of color, I'll say it now, experience what is called microaggressions or implicit bias all the time, every day, all the time.
And that's Kamau Bell. And here we get into the language that's been developed to talk about race, which is part of what this forum is all about. So here's the gist. According to the panel, a microaggression is basically an underhanded compliment that conceals a racist stereotype. Like saying to your black friend, "Wow, you don't act black." These seemingly harmless moments, they accumulate and people internalize them. It's a way of hiding stereotypes in everyday life.
But the problem is we can't talk about it all the time because we would sound crazy. And this incident was so blatant. I was like, I can't let this one go.
And he didn't let it go. Neither did his wife, Melissa Hudson Bell. She says the waitress apologized, but it just kind of made things worse.
She continued to say, I'm sorry, but then said the thing that I really don't care for, which is, I really don't think that it was a race thing. And I said to her, it absolutely has everything to do with race.
So the Bells co-authored a blog post. And because Kamau Bell is famous, it went viral, which is how the Elmwood Cafe's owner, Michael Pierce, heard about the incident.
I was deeply upset by it. And I got really upset. I called him and I told him how sorry I was that this happened.
It was that conversation that led Pierce and the Bells to want to talk through the incident in a public forum to discuss what it really means when a black man who stops to talk to his white wife and her white friends gets shooed away from a restaurant in the heart of liberal Berkeley. Pierce says he quickly recognized how the incident at his cafe made him feel.
I think the feeling I felt was shame. I think that's the best way to put it.
At the forum, audience members write down anonymous questions on index cards, and moderator Harrison Small reads them aloud. One question addressed the emotion that Pierce felt, shame.
How do you think we can talk about racism and microaggressions without shaming people?
Well, shame can be a moving emotion.
That's Nikki Jones, a panelist tonight, and an associate professor at Berkeley. And here's Kamau Bell chiming in.
Can I just say, what's wrong with shame? Sometimes you should feel bad.
All right, this question is for Kamau. What made you so sure it was a racially motivated act as opposed to one directed towards you for other reasons, such as the large homeless population that solicited the cafe?
I love this question. Thank you. I know it was racism. I know it was racism. You can listen to me and we can talk about it and discuss. And at that moment, I think somebody, as they said down here, then you go, oh, what can I do to stop this? What can I do to help you with this? The minute you go to, I don't think it was racism, and you're not a person of color from that community, you've just lost a friend.
And there were more questions from the crowd, honest questions, with sometimes uncomfortable responses, like with this question, again, read by moderator Harrison Small.
As a white person, woman, going into a black space, clubs, cafes, neighborhoods, I have also been made to feel unsafe, that I don't belong. How do we all become colorblind and treat each other as just human beings?
Khadijah Means has a response to that question. Means is the head of the Black Student Union at Berkeley High, and she says colorblindness, that really isn't the goal of all of this.
I think that you need to stop trying to erase color because you think it's rude to mention someone's race, or it's rude that, like, I don't know, that's just ridiculous to me. I'm sorry, it's hard for me to articulate that. Please don't call people articulate. Don't come up to me after and tell me I'm articulate. Oh, God. Woo! Please do not do that.
Calling a black person articulate, she says, that's microaggression 101. The panel ran on longer and later into the evening than planned, but people stayed, including the TV news trucks parked outside. Kamau Bell had a request for the crowd. Don't let the media define this event as a one-off.
They're going to report on this that they had this event, and the event happened. And at the end, they're going to talk to you as you walk outside, and feel free to talk to them. They're going to get some clip of somebody going, I thought it was good. I thought it was bad. I don't know. And that's going to be the story, allegedly.
As a member of the media, my first response was to go get those sound bites, the sum it all up moment, the nicely packaged event tied up with a bow, even to sort of dismiss it because the forum happened in Berkeley, what some might call the politically correct capital of America. But Bell, he basically called me out on that, too.
I've seen some people online. I saw people say, like in news reports, this is so Berkeley. They're going to have a talk about a racist thing that happened. You're damn right, all right? This is so, hashtag, this is so Berkeley. Please take this out there into the streets. It's not about the Elmwood Cafe. It's not about what bad thing happened to our family. This is about, we're all here because this has happened to all of us, or we want to know, learn more about it. Take it into the streets. This is so Berkeley. Thank you.
And that's the hope, to take the conversation to corners where people might not throw around phrases like implicit bias and microaggression, to feel comfortable about calling people out when they do something they might not realize is racist, to not be embarrassed, to have embarrassing conversations. In Berkeley, I'm Sandhya Dirks for Cross Currents.